The following program is sponsored by Bell and Pollock PC. Welcome to Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Attorneys Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are ready to work for you. Reach Gary, Brad, and their team at championsofthepeople.com or by calling 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900.
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. You all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. This is an injury show. We are injury attorneys. We do all kinds of radio shows. This show is dedicated to injury subjects, and we're going to dissect them and pull back the curtain, let you see what these insurance companies actually do when they value claims and try to attack and beat and defeat your injury claims. We also do a live call-in show on Saturday mornings on a sister station, 6:30 a.m. KHOW. That's a call-in show. You can call us on any legal question. That's 7 o'clock in the mornings on Saturdays. This show is an injury show, and we try to educate you and teach you about injury subjects so that you have a level playing field with the insurance company once you've had an accident. You know, that we usually use the scenario or example in this show of a car accident, but what we say can apply to any trauma. It can apply to a slip and fall. It can apply to a premises liability, a hit and run, a motorcycle car accident, truck accident, pedestrian car accident. So any type of trauma, what we're talking about will apply to all of those situations as well. And you need to understand, we've said many times, the insurance company for the at-fault party, the one who hits you, the one who injured you, is not on your side. They are not on your side. They are your enemy. They are your adversary. And we cover different subjects each week. And this week we're talking about, you know, you've been injured. You were in a car accident. Maybe you were T-boned. Maybe somebody ran a red light. Let's use that example. They T-boned you on the passenger side, or worse yet, on the driver's side. And now you went to the emergency room. You're off to the hospital. You see the emergency room doctors. And we're going to have later shows talking about, you know, what these emergency records mean, what they mean to you, how do you use them, and that sort of thing. But today we're talking about, how do insurance companies really, really, truly value your claim? I mean, you've heard about claims. You see TV ads. You hear radio ads. Injury lawyers, come to us, come to us. All that kind of stuff. We got verdicts. What goes on behind the scenes when insurance companies value your claim? What's important for you to present to them? And so we're going to try to dissect that today and break it down and educate you. Okay, Brad, so we got the typical accident. We got a T-bone accident in this example. You know, we've talked about it before, but one of the ways you support your claim, when you prove your claim, and you got to do it the right way, is to give your medical records to the insurance company.
Right. The medical records have to go to the insurance company with regard to the crash and the injuries received from the crash. They do not, and the insurance company should not be getting medical records that do not have anything to do with the crash, that do not have anything to do with the parts of your body that were injured in the crash. Those are records that are not and should not be made available to the insurance company. But the other medical records, where you've gotten care, those need to be sent to the insurance company. They should be reviewed. They should be properly redacted for information that should not be given. An example, even when you're looking at those records, is, for instance, a family history. A family history may reveal information about relatives from the medical doctor who's gotten this information that the insurance company doesn't need to know. There's no reason for them to know what your mother or father or people in your family, what kind of medical condition they have. When you're looking at the medical records, you should be taking out things like Social Security numbers. There's no reason for that to be in there. And insurance information should be taken out.
Right. You know, you have to submit your medical records. So that's one thing. That's one way they value your claim. It's not the only way. And they have many ways to try to value your claim. But the bottom line is they're trying to beat your claim. They're trying to mitigate your claim. And they're trying to reduce it down to nothing or next to nothing, period. And you need to understand that. And Brad was just exactly right. You produce the medical records that apply only to the body parts that are injured in this crash, period. If you injured your neck, that's what you're going to furnish. You're not going to furnish about your foot. You're not going to furnish about cancer treatment. You're certainly not going to furnish counseling records. They're going to want every record from every doctor in your whole life, or at least 25 years, or your entire life. They're not entitled to them, and we're going to cover that in today's show as well. But we're trying to teach you how they value the claim. So they've got certain injuries. If you have a sore neck and no surgery, that's different. So, Brad, let's talk about how these different injuries, once you submit your medical records, they look at them and they start to place different values on different types of injuries to different types of body parts.
Right. They're going to talk about different parts of injuries. And some of it's going to be as to how it allows you to function the injury you have, that particular body part. They're going to determine whether or not that body part is something that has a main factor in your life. I know that sounds odd, but for instance, if you're a writer and you've hurt your hands or you've hurt your fingers and you can't type or you can't write, that might be completely different than somebody who doesn't have that kind of career. They want to look and see what your career is as far as if you've been hurt, if your legs have been hurt, or your knees have been hurt. They want to talk about what kind of problems that creates with respect to what's going on in your life. Are you a person who uses your legs more than other people in carrying out your job? So they are going to talk about what body parts are. A closed head injury is something that I think they look at saying, well, this can affect you in everything you do, but they also realize that closed head injuries are very hard to prove. And so they want to go after you with closed head injury because they think you're going to have trouble proving it. They especially, on closed head injuries, will look for gaps in treatment because there comes a point in time where there's not a whole lot of treatment you can give to a closed head injury. And you have to pay attention to that to understand what kind of treatment you might or might not be getting and why you might or might not be getting that treatment to that part of your body.
Right. And Brad was talking about the fact that they usually call it gaps in treatment. We're going to cover that. I'm not sure we're going to get to it in today's show, but gaps in your medical treatment is a big item and a big way they attack your damages. Okay, so you're going to submit your medical records, and they're going to value your claim. And so they start to go through your records, and they maybe do a chronology or summary of your medical records. And then they're going to try to downplay the records because, I mean, if you have a neck injury and you're going to have surgery, that's a different case for them and for you than if you have a sore neck. If you've got whiplash, it doesn't show up on MRIs or x-rays, which happens a lot, but it's killing you and affects you every day, all day long, and affects your quality of life. You need to approach that case differently. And if they're just looking at the medical records and say you have a sore neck, if you went to the emergency room, more than likely they diagnosed it as a sprain/strain, and they don't think that's worth much money. Because, Brad, they think that most of those cases, you should get over them. They got these studies, medical studies, and they got these doctors, highly paid doctors that they pay, that say, well, in that type of injury, most people should just be over this in 6 weeks, so what's your problem? You should be over it. But many times the people are not over it.
Sure. There's this belief by the insurance companies a lot of times that if they just let time pass, your case is going to get weakened. And they know that that can happen. So they're either going to do what we can call a quickie or a drive-by settlement where they're going to give you money right away before you realize what's wrong with you and get your release assigned, or they're going to let time pass. And because they can let time pass, they will try to convince you, oh, this injury will go away. They usually are not going to encourage, when you're talking to them, if you're talking to their adjusters, to get you to go to medical care because they like those gaps in treatment. They will talk to you about the fact that this might go away or let's check later and see how you're doing. And the whole idea is they think that if this goes away, or if you have temporary relief because you're trying something or something's working, they can say, well, number one, that it's gone away, or number two, that you had this relief and then you did something else in your life to cause the injury anew, and therefore something else should be blamed for the injury.
Right. They always try to invent something else, and if you don't tell them that you had a subsequent injury or subsequent accident, they say you must have had one anyway because your medical records show and state that you were resolving and you were getting better, and hopefully you do, but they say you were getting better, so you should be done by now. You should be better. And you need to understand that's how they value the medical records. So let's take a couple of examples. If you're injured in this car crash example we're using today, if you've injured your neck and you require surgery, then that's going to be a different type of a case. But then they hire doctors that sometimes say that you don't really need the surgery. What you need is rehabilitation treatment and that sort of thing. If you've been injured, you can call us anytime at 303-795-5000. 5900. That's 795-5900. Or our website, championsofthepeople.com. We can help you. So, Brad, let's talk about they're looking at your medical records. They try to see what body parts were injured. They've got a kind of a preset formula on how they're going to approach this. But if you need surgery, they're going to contest the surgery or contest the condition. And they're going to say maybe it was degenerative disc disease in your neck, and that's what caused your problem.
Sure. They're going to blame degenerative diseases, some type or another, for just about every injury you have. They're going to blame arthritic conditions for just about every injury you have. They know that they have doctors, they have people who are going to be able to look and see and find that you're degenerating as you get older. And they know that as you're degenerating as you get older, that there's going to be wear and tear on your body. And they're going to blame the wear and tear for the problems. And they're going to try and make you feel like, you know, come on, you can't really expect us to pay for the fact that your body's wearing and tearing and wearing out. Yes, you were involved in a crash, but you can't be thinking that we're responsible because your body was wearing out. Here's the film. Here's the MRI. Here's the x-ray. Here's where it shows that you had this degeneration, that you had these problems building. And so therefore, you shouldn't be looking for us to pay because you were already wearing out, and this is just something that was going to be a natural condition.
Right, and that's how they attack it. So there are ways to beat this. You need to understand there are many ways to do this. You need to understand the right ways. You need to perform the right ways with the insurance company for them to value your claim. And you try to settle the claim before there's litigation. You always do that. That's how you send the medical records in and why you send the medical records in. You also send the medical bills in. And what significance are the medical bills? The medical bills are part of your damages. If your medical bills are $20,000, they're required to pay you the $20,000. Plus your other injuries, damages, and losses. You need to understand that. So how do they value the claim? They look at your medical bills. Then they start to look at your medical records that you've submitted, the appropriate correct medical records. You have not signed a general release in advance. You send in the appropriate correct medical records. So they start to look at the medical bills. They start to look at the medical records and value your claim. But what about wages? What about economic losses? What if you can't work or couldn't work for a short period of time? Next up, Your economic loss damages, your lost wages damages. ChampionsOfThePeople.com. We'll be right back. You're on your way to the store, then boom, you're T-boned at 45 miles per hour. Instead of shopping, you're on your way to the ER. Then comes the doctor visits, prescriptions, therapy, diagnostics, ongoing treatment, and the limitations. You have range of motion problems. Then the ultimate insult. The insurance company makes you feel like the crash was your fault. You need a legal game plan. You want a legal game plan. At Bell & Pollock, we've used over 25 years of experience to develop a legal game plan just for you. Our game plan has injury rules, rules of treatment, rules of claims, insurance company rules, litigation rules, rules they use to beat you. Now you can have them and know them and use them to protect you and your family. Our Bell & Pollock legal game plan gives you the rules the insurance company doesn't want you to have, or know, or use. But guess what? We do. At Bell & Pollock, success is no accident. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Get your free initial consult and your free legal game plan. We'll help you.
Hi, it's Mandy for my friends at Bell and Pollock. I know these guys. They're real. They genuinely care about their clients. And I endorse them because they do business like my dad did. If you've been injured in an accident, call them 303-795-5900.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We've been representing injured individuals for over 30 years, and we can help you put your life back together again. Believe me, you need experience. We have experience. We can put it on your side. We can show you what to do, tell you what to do. Our telephone number, 303-795-5900. 7955900. That's 7955900. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. And don't forget, you know, these insurance companies that try to beat your claim, that's what we're trying to educate you about. Our example today, you've been in a car accident. You were T-boned, let's say, on the passenger side. You went to the emergency room. Now you're treating with doctors. How do you get paid? How do you get paid by the insurance company, and what do they do? So in the first part of the show, we covered you submit your medical records, you submit your medical bills. That's a good start. That's not the end of the rainbow. That's not the end of the story. So once you submit your medical records and your medical bills, there are other damages and losses. And believe me, they have a strategy against you. They have many strategies against you. You should not go the road alone. But I'm telling you what, you can have your own legal game plan. If you come in to see Bell and Pollock, we'll give you a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. We wrote a book. It's based on our years of experience. The book's name is Legal Game Plan. You can get a free copy of our book on our website, championsofthepeople.com. Okay, so Brad, you've submitted your medical records. You've submitted your medical bills. And, of course, they're going to try to attack those. We've covered that before. We're still going to have more to say about it. But now you've not been able to work for, let's say, a month, or you worked part-time for 2 weeks, or you couldn't work for 3 months, or you're going to have neck surgery and you're going to be in rehabilitation and you're not going to work for 6 months after that. How do you approach this lost wages, lost earnings, and earning capacity?
Well, that's the first thing. You need a different mindset entirely. You know, your mindset can no longer be what your lost wages were. Your mindset has to be what is your lost earning capacity, because that's what's going to be important, is your earning capacity. You may have a temporary ability to make some money or continue making the money you were making. That may be as a result of your employer making accommodations for you and doing things that allows you to be able to work and continue making money in that job. But the question is what's your earning capacity when you no longer have that employer, or when that employer determines, okay, I can't do this anymore, or the employer for some reason has to terminate you or closes up their building, their shop, and is no longer able to employ you. What happens when you want to move and move to a different place, change states, change cities or whatever, and now you're looking for a job in a different state or a different city, and once again, you're looking at what is lost earning capacity. What happens when things change in your business, and now you need different skills or different abilities, and because of your injury, you can't accomplish or acquire those different abilities or skills. Once again, it's a lost earning capacity. So, yes, lost income is important. It's something you need to look at, and you need to say, okay, how many days did I miss because of this or that, or how much time did I miss because of this surgery, because this is the time I was in the hospital, or because this is what I'm going to have to do when I'm going to the doctors. Yes, that's all lost income, and it's important. But you also need to look at what happened to my capacity to make money, and how is that capacity going to keep me from making my fair share in what I would have otherwise made very far into the future.
You have to understand that you're dealing with your damages and injuries and losses. We're showing you how they value claims. We're showing you how you should value your own claim and how you submit items and documents and supporting material to the insurance company to get paid for an injury. You hear about injuries all the time. You hear about attorneys talking on TV and the radio about injuries. I've had all these wonderful verdicts. Nobody tells you exactly what to do and what goes on behind the scenes, but we do, and we are right now. What the insurance company does not want to hear from you is that you lost your earning capacity in the future. All these damages, your medical records, your injuries to your neck, in our example, your injuries maybe to your arm, maybe to your low back, maybe you're going to have surgery on your neck, but no surgery on your low back. What does the future hold for you? What does the future picture look like, medically speaking, work-like speaking, quality of life-like speaking, for you? The insurance company never wants to talk about the future. And the way they do it is they usually say, okay, let me see how much your medical bills are to date. Okay, so $6,000. Okay, so we're going to discount those and we'll pay you $3,000 for that. And then they lump it all together in a lump sum. And you know, sometimes they don't even offer you the amount of your medical bills, and they have to pay you for more than that. Brad, let's talk about this future, because that's one way they attack your claim. They try to limit it just to your past. So maybe your accident was 4 months ago. You're going to try to settle now, or 6 months ago. You're going to try to resolve it and settle it now. They just want to know what your medical bills are to date. They don't care about your future. And many times if you tell them, they try to discount it anyway.
Well, that's exactly it. They're going to tell you, okay, well, you're back at work and you're working and everything's fine. And you're comfortable in your job and you've got job security, so everything must be fine. And once again, you know, you shouldn't worry about the future because the future will be there for you and you can't really compute the future. And by the way, if you have any problems in your job in the future, it certainly won't be because of the injury and because of the problems you've got and the disability you've got as a result of having been in this crash. And remember, that's exactly what it is. People look at disabilities and they go, how do I figure out my disability? I don't need a special placard to be able to park in special places. But if your crash, if the injury from your crash has caused you to have a significant injury, there's a great potential that you have a disability. And that disability is something that has to be addressed for future losses, looking into the future. And that's where you have to get the crystal ball out and start figuring it out.
Right. Some cases, you have injuries that are going to affect you the rest of your life. And so that means the rest of your life, and that includes the rest of your work life. Making sense? I mean, you might be 24 years old, and you're going to work till you're 65 or 70. It's going to affect you every day of every year until you're 65 or 70 in your work life. A good example, let's take the Aspen Music Festival, a wonderful event in the summer in Aspen, Colorado. All kinds of world-class musicians there. Let's take a pianist. What's the most important things to a pianist? Their hands. What if their hand was damaged and they can't use it? What if there's neurological damage and it doesn't function the way it used to? Maybe there's a partial amputation. They're 29 years old. What is their work life expectancy and what is the future hold? And these insurance companies never want to talk about the future. So when you're making your claim and you're valuing your claim, you need to focus in on the future. And there's many ways to do it. You can call us at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Or our website, championsofthepeople.com. Let's talk some little bit more about this lost earning capacity, Brad, because that portends the future. That includes the future. And that's what has to be built up on those type cases.
Right. And they love to talk to you about whether or not you're even going to be having that kind of job in the future, whether your skills are going to be needed in the future. But you can always come back to them and say, well, I need to be able to have the necessary ability, physical ability, to be able to adapt to what the future holds. Once again, my loss earning capacity. They'll talk about, and they look, you know, if you're 50 years old right now, 40 years old, and you've been in a crash, and you said, man, I plan on retiring in 10 years and going out and into the Hawaii and laying around the islands, if they can find that, they're going to look and they're going to say, well, we shouldn't be calculating your loss earning capacity in the future to a retirement age of 65 or 66 or 67, depending on your age, but rather, we're going to calculate it to when you intended to retire. At age 50, and if you wanted to retire at age 50, that's when your income would have stopped. So they like to find where you have talked about what you want your future to be. And once again, they build into this a statement of, okay, we're going to talk to you about your future only if you can show us that capacity that you lost, the inability to do things, either physically or mentally, equates into something that's worth money, something that you were using to make money, something that you need to make money, and something that you can't compensate for making money. And therefore, what you're going to find is that it's going to be a very hard-fought battle for future losses. They do not want to talk about them, and they do not think they should be responsible for the fact that you can't work to your maximum capacity in the future.
All your damages, your medical bills are in the past and in the future. What's going to happen to you for the next 10 years, the rest of your life, if you have a permanent injury? They always want to downplay the fact that you have a permanent injury. They don't want permanent injuries because they're lifelong, and they affect you for your entire life and what's your life expectancy. How do you value these future losses? So, maybe you're asking that question in your mind. So there are ways to do it, and sometimes you have to use an expert. Sometimes you don't have to use an expert, but they must be valued. And Brad, let's just talk a little second about present value. Because if you're 29 years old and you're going to work till you're 65, that's your work life expectancy, you have to reduce those numbers to present value.
Well, sure. They're going to say, that's great. You think you had lost this money in the future, but if I give you this money now, you can earn interest. You know, the stunning 1% that you can make nowadays in accounts, but they say you can invest this money, you can make interest off of it, and therefore, if you think you're going to lose $10,000 20 years from now, well, maybe I only have to give you $100 now or $1,000 now. Of course, they don't realize that if you're saying you're losing $10,000 in today's money, 20 years from now, that 10,000 might actually be 50,000. So it's your job. It's your job to make sure you understand what we mean by what's happening with interest, what's happening with inflation, what's happening with the value of a dollar, and how your money's going to go up and down.
You know, when you compute present value, sometimes you need an expert, but you must take into consideration the rate of inflation, sometimes the rate of medical inflation for medical costs, and sometimes the discount rate. So that can be complicated, but you must prove it. You must be able to do it. Okay, coming up, what if you're an architect or a contractor or a self-employed person? What if you're an Uber driver, a musician? What if you're an employee of labor? We know we do work comp cases as well, but what if you're in one of those categories? How do you prove your lost wages? How do you prove your lost opportunities? How do you prove your economic losses? Bell and Pollock, we are injury attorneys. We're here for you. This is the only show of its kind. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.